ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago with a live studio audience. Wow, that is busting the microphone. Unbelievable, what an incredible live studio audience we have here after a truly incredible Shabbaton, Project 613 Shabbos in the city. My family and I went down with our incredible staff, Rabbi Marcus and Rebbetzin Shoshana and their beautiful family, as well as a few wonderful families here in the community, the Broner and Cohen families. It was a very incredible Shabbos. We had 100 people for dinner in downtown Chicago. 100 people. It was truly, truly remarkable. Now, it was a fought. We fought hard to recruit that. It was not easy. I want to thank all of our Project 613 committee members and ambassadors who believe in our mission so much to bring people. Yes, it's getting harder. People are seeing the relevance of Judaism less and less, and so to get them to a Shabbos is harder. But thank God, the people in the room were blown away. Truly, absolutely blown away. They wanted to know when the next one was. Several people actually came for lunch who hadn't signed up for lunch, just because they were so blown away by the experience for the evening. And we had about 50-ish for lunch, and some of them even stayed the entire Shabbos. So we are planning on doing this more often. If you want to be part of it and make these events happen that have a huge impact on the next generation of Jews, please let me know. We would love for you to sponsor it. Okay. We are, ironically, the title of this podcast is Monday Motivation 25, 50, and 75. Well, ironically, this is the 25th podcast of the fourth season. That's not why I named it, but it turns out pretty cool. And 25, 50, and 75, we're actually going to go in reverse order. We're going to talk about 75, and then we're going to talk about 50, and then we're going to talk about 25. And the 75, for those of you who might have guessed, we are going to talk about the 75th anniversary of Israel's, the modern Israel's Independence Day. And the significance of these last 75 years cannot be understated. The significance of what it meant in 1948 certainly cannot be understated, and we're gonna talk about that a little bit later. But what I wanted to start with is that many people, certainly young people, in terms of their relationship to Israel, it's all mainly about modern events, modern political events, the rancor that's happening now, the conflict with the Palestinians, all of the various latest. But I think really to understand what is Israel and why is it important, and really at the heart of the different versions and visions of what Israel is, we need to go back to the source. We need to go back to what does the Torah and our 3,335-year-old tradition since Mount Sinai have to say about the land of Israel. And that is what we're going to do. All right, so I'd like to start with a few delicious accounts from the Gemara, from the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud at the end of Tractate Kesubas, talking about wedding documents on page 112a and b. Three cute little vignettes that are very, very powerful. It says that Rabbi Abba would kiss the stones of Akko. Excuse me. Now, I don't know where you live. I'm in Chicago. Now, I can't imagine going out to my street as much as I love my street. It's a beautiful street. It's beautiful people on the street. I can't imagine going out and picking up a rock and kissing it, saying, oh, I love you. You're so special. And I do love Chicago. It's a very lovely place, and our neighborhood in particular is so special. But I can't imagine it. But Rabbi Abba loved the land of Israel so much, he kissed the stones of Akka. Then, it's a really, really nondescript story. It's understated, and therefore we have to figure out what is going on. So listen to this. So Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, again, two great Talmudic sages, the Gemara says, were sitting in the sun learning Torah, and when they got hot, they went to the shade. Ooh, wow. And wait, hold on, faster seatbelts. Guess what happens next? Then when they were in the shade and they got a little too cool, they moved back to the sun. End of Gemara. Excuse me? Is this like the most banal, mundane, unnecessary piece of Talmud? Like, why do I need to know? Of course, says Rashi and the commentators, something unbelievable. Why did Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi get up from the sun and go to the shade when they were hot and vice versa? Because they didn't want even the slightest bit of complaint about the land of Israel to come up in their minds. Even the thought of complaining about the land of Israel was anathema to them. And so therefore, they would rearrange their learning situation in order not to complain about the land of Israel. But Rabbi Hanina takes it to new levels. Rabbi Hanina, it says, it's beyond funny. Rabbi Hanina paved the roads. He paved the potholes of the land of Israel. Meaning, okay, let's get this straight. Rabbi Hanina was one of the great sages of the Talmud, okay? And he's walking on the road, or he's in his cart with his donkey, or however he's going. Oh, he says, oh, okay, there's a pothole here. He gets out. He gets down. He puts on his orange vest. It says, your taxpayer dollars at work, right? And he starts filling the potholes. Now, if Rabbi Hanina lived in Chicago, he would have a full-time job. 24/6. Obviously, he wouldn't fill the potholes on Shabbos, but there are enough potholes here in Chicago to last for the all of civilization. Now, is that unbelievable? The commentators explain why Rabbi Hanina did what he did, and we see maybe a little bit of a progression. Rabbi Abba loved the land of Israel, and so he kissed the stones of Akko. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi didn't want even the slightest complaint to come up in their minds about the land of Israel. But Rabbi Hanina loved the land of Israel so much that he paved the roads so that no Jew would have a complaint about the land of Israel. It wasn't enough that he didn't complain. He looked out to make sure that other Jews would not complain about Israel. So what is so special about the land of Israel? We're going to get to that. But I want everyone to focus just on, when one is plugged into Jewish tradition, just how much Israel and Jerusalem is such a fundamental pillar of our prayer and our daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly cycles as a Jew. So if you open up the prayer book, okay, you're talking about in the weekday Amidah, the silent prayer, Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, five times Israel and Jerusalem are mentioned. In Musaf, on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and holidays, we talk about the temple being destroyed because of our sins and our desire to return back. Please, Hashem, bring us back to Jerusalem and the temple. The blessings after eating. Folks, for the last 2,500 years, since the Sanhedrin, the Anshe Knesset Gedolah, established the blessings that we say after eating. Every time a Jew has had a cracker around the world, he says a blessing afterwards, thanking God and praying for Jerusalem and the temple and the altar and the Heichal, the certain part of the temple. Can you imagine this? Every time we have a pasta, we're thanking. And certainly if we have bread, the second blessing of Birkat HaMazon talks about the land of Israel. The third blessing talks about Jerusalem and the temple specifically. Okay, around the Jewish calendar, it's all over the place. There's an entire 3 weeks in the mid to late summer talking about the times when the temple was destroyed and we have two fast days and Tisha B'Av an entire day. At a wedding, there are two specific times. There's ashes put on the groom's head. And, of course, everyone knows the stepping on the crushing of the glass, that our joy is not complete at our most joyous time unless Jerusalem is rebuilt. Okay, and some people don't know, but at the first opening of one's home, there should be a part that's left unpainted. Because how can we have this beautiful, perfect house when God's house is destroyed in Jerusalem? So it is enshrined in the soul of the Jewish people and reconfirmed on a daily, possibly hourly, and even minutely basis how important Jerusalem and Israel are to the Jewish people. But why? 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 Is this some random allegiance? And the answer is no. Okay, so when we look at this, we see clearly from all of our sources, starting in Bereishis and Genesis, the Jewish people are a spiritual people. We are supposed to be the light unto the nations, the nation that has a connection with the Almighty, and we are supposed to represent the Almighty's morality in the world. Our behavior matters, and we are the people of the book and the morals that that book stands for. And in right before, it's truly unbelievable, right before we get the Torah in Shmos, Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 6, it describes our mission to be a Mamleches Kohanim v'goy Kadosh, a nation of priests and a holy nation. It describes how we will be the beloved treasure of all peoples. We have a special, unique relationship with the Almighty. And then he gives us the Torah, which the rabbis uses the imagery to describe that really what was happening at Mount Sinai was a wedding, that we were getting married to Hashem. And what was the wedding ring? Was the tablets. God gave the tablets to Moshe to the Jewish people. That was the wedding ring, as it were. And we were married to the Almighty. And now what does every young couple need? Right? Now after their post-wedding celebration, right, the Sheva Brachas, what happens? The young couple needs a place to live. And the Almighty says, I have the perfect dira. I have the perfect apartment. I have the perfect place for the two of us to live that will enable us to continue this relationship. And so therefore, I'm going to say a crazy idea right now. The actual geography and topography and nature of the land of Israel is specifically designed by the Almighty to engender a relationship between the Jewish people and God. Now, how in the world is that possible? You think I'm making this stuff up? It's not. Later on in Devarim, in Deuteronomy, in chapter 11, verses 10 to 12, the Torah says that Israel is not like Egypt. Egypt has a steady source of water. Every year the Nile overflows its banks, and therefore it's like knowing the stock market. What's going to happen? It's money in the bank. There's never any question about what the Egyptian agrarian economy is going to be. And Israel is just the opposite. There's no major body of water. The Kinneret, yes, but certainly not enough for all of Israel. And even at that time, in ancient times, weren't able to access that for all of Israel. And so the Torah says that you're going to be reliant on rainfall, which means that your eyes need to be at heaven. And in fact, we look throughout the Talmud, there's an entire tractate called Tanis, which means fasting, which means when there was a drought, there was a specific series of prayers that we would undergo as a community in order to be able to pray to God for rain, because God did not give us a $1 trillion silver spoon trust fund account. He said, I'm going to give you the food, I'm going to give you the water, but you're going to have to come every day. You're going to have to come to the bakery every day. You're going to have to come to the water store, quote unquote, every day. And I'm going to give you a little bit. Why? Because I want to have that relationship with you. And I find it no coincidence that in the entire Middle East, the only one strip of land that has none of that black stuff underneath the ground is the land of Israel. And it was only much, much later, after Israel had developed, the modern state of Israel developed, that we found the natural gas. They still are messing up how to distribute it, but I digress. But the point is, Hashem did not let us be fat cats and just have an endless supply of money. We had to rely on Him and our relationship. And there are two other quick sources. In the Gemara and the Talmud of Brachos, Daf Hei Amud Aleph 5a, it talks about three things being acquired by Yisurin with difficulties. And the land of Israel is one of them. One of the three things that is acquired through difficulty. And why? Why does God make it that way? Because something valuable needs work and effort. Easy come, easy go. And therefore, the difficulties and challenges of living in Israel, of moving to Israel, and of creating the modern entity of Israel are all difficult, but they're difficult by design. Why? Again, so that our eyes would look heavenward and develop this relationship with the Almighty. And there, it just in that, this last week's Torah portion, it was a double Torah portion, but one of them, Parshas Acharei, it talks about, at the end of Parshas Acharei, it talks about that the land of Israel is very sensitive, and it, quote unquote, spits out those people who don't obey its laws. Now, this is one of the great ironies of the modern state of Israel, is because the driving force in the 20th century for the Jews to come back to Israel were Jews who were almost completely secular, and some of them virulently anti-secular. And therefore, the great irony of history is that so many secular Jews led the return to the homeland. Now, this is a very difficult discussion, but it is actually an incredible statistic. And this was years ago. And if you have the statistic today, but how many Israelis live outside the land of Israel today? Years ago, it was 1 million. I'm sure it's more than that now. Because the land of Israel is only going to be inherited by those people who are ideologically driven to stay there, who understand that fundamentally it is the ultimate dwelling place to engender this, create this relationship between Hashem, God, and the Jewish people. And I've heard from many Israelis who moved away from Israel, they couldn't stomach it. I just could not take it there anymore, which I can understand, but the point is that fundamentally Israel and the Jewish people, it's the place of our engendering a relationship, and therefore there's difficulties there because God always wants us to look to Him for salvation. And that is what creates the ongoing relationship with the Jews and God. Okay, so now we need to go back. And now we understand the background of why Israel is specifically suited to the Jewish people, to create this spiritual entity called the Jewish people. We need to go back to 1948, 75 years ago. 75 years ago, you must, and I'll put the link in the description of the podcast. Hear Rabbi Beryl Wine describe what the founding of Israel meant to the American Jewish community, particularly the Jews here in Chicago, in 1948. He said there was a ceremony with 20,000 Jews in the Chicago Stadium where the basketball team played. I guess it was long before the Bulls. 1948. There were 20,000 Jews in the stadium and 40,000 Jews, he said, outside in the parking lot. And he said they raised the Israeli flag and they declared the State of Israel. It had already been declared that previous Friday. And he said 2,000 years of exile came out in tears of 20,000 people. The entire stadium, many of them who had just survived the horrors of Nazi Europe, cried. The entire stadium, the burden of 2,000 years of being kicked around and pushed around and beat up. And the tears flowed. You absolutely have to listen to his 9-minute video that was done by the OU. A tremendous video. So as the rancor happens again and again today about this policy and that policy, we cannot forget what Israel means. So many people have let this modern issues in political reform, judicial reform, which is ridiculous, get in the way. They let the trees get in the way of the forest. We cannot let that happen. And the voices that want to rip apart Israel on this one issue, I believe, are making a tragic mistake. So that was 75. 50, well, it was my 50th birthday. It's hard to believe. I still consider myself a teenager, 20-year-old, maybe 30-year-old, possibly a 40-year-old, but a 50-year-old, unbelievable. I want to thank the Almighty for 50 amazing, amazing years. And the definitional moment of why my 50 years have been so significant is because of the 25. And on April 28th, 1998, something amazing happened. And on April 28th, 2023, 25 years later, we were downtown in Chicago looking out at a room of 100 amazing Jewish people celebrating Shabbos. And I told them that 25 years ago, something incredible happened. It was maybe not something that made the headlines, but in heaven, where the big headlines are written, it certainly made headlines. It was the day that my wife and I met in a hotel lobby in the Ramada Renaissance on April 28th, 1998. And did we know that 25 years later, we would be blessed with 8 children, 2 grandchildren, thousands of students? I don't think so. But these are the moments in life that we treasure. These are the moments in life where we can't get stuck on the trees and we have to see the forest, the tremendous blessings that the Almighty gives us personally and nationally as well. The Jewish people have been given a tremendous gift of the land of Israel. Let us appreciate it and let us enjoy it. And those special personal moments of 50 and 25, may Hashem bless us with many more to be able to continue to share the special messages of Torah and the specialness of the land of Israel. Thank you all for listening and being such a special part of my 50. God bless. Have a great week. And may we continue to connect here for another exciting edition next week of Monday Motivation.